I guess I'm thankful right now because I'm so excited about the holiday weekend. How many of you are ready for a big Thanksgiving weekend? Wait, oh, it's not Thanksgiving, huh? Well, I guess it's Memorial Day. Some of you, I wish you like the turkey. Yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend. Sorry, I mixed that up. Not this particular day, but what is a memorial? When you think of the word memorial, what do you think of? Yeah, remembering. Yeah, something that's usually set up to help you remember. We're supposed to remember something, so we try to remember something. And what are we trying to remember this weekend? Don't forget the hot dogs and the hamburgers and the potato salad. Make sure you bring a potato salad or macaroni salad. I like macaroni salad. Beth makes my favorite macaroni salad in the world. Actually, it used to be Doug that made it, wasn't it? Doug was the, I love macaroni salad. I don't know if I'm going to get any of that this weekend or not. Not yours in particular, but I just don't know if I'm going to get any. We have plans. We have to run to Logan and back. We're going to go down and get Lisa's mama, bring her home. We're thankful we get to do that. Yeah, Memorial Day, though, isn't so much about, the three-day weekend. A lot of people are thinking about the three-day weekend. They've got a lot of stuff they've got to do to get prepared for their three-day weekend, and we do use this weekend to hang out with family. And some of us do take a moment and remember what this weekend is supposed to be about. It's a day set aside for those who gave their lives for our nation. I saw and reposted a meme yesterday, and I really loved it. It said, we have Armed Services Day for those who are in uniform. And we have Veterans Day for those who hung up their uniform. And then we have Memorial Day for those who never got out of their uniform. They never made it out of their uniform. That's pretty cool. I don't know who thought that up, but wow, is that good. And there are people who never made it out of their uniform. We some of us know the history. I'll just remind you real quick the history of Memorial Day. It was originally called Decoration Day. That's what it was called for a while. And it started pretty much right at the end of the Civil War. It became really a thing. And Decoration Day went on and on. People would go out and decorate the graves of those who died in the Great War. And if you don't know it, the Great War is still the greatest war. In fact, I believe, I'm not sure we've achieved this yet. I hope we haven't. But I believe more people died in the Civil War than all of our other wars combined. It was that way until just a few years ago, if it did change. More people died in the Civil War than died in all of our other wars combined. And so it was the bloodiest war in history. And then as other wars were fought by our country, soldiers from those wars were also remembered. That's a good thing. And it became more and more a part of our national calendar. And then somewhere after the Second World War, the name Decoration Day, which was, I think, maybe even before that, being swapped back and forth with Memorial Day. No one knows for sure. It's just one. You know how those things just kind of, they evolve. And so after the Second World War, it began to be called Memorial Day and was initially set on a specific day. It was the 30th of the month of May. And then I was just kind of refreshing myself on this, and I had forgotten this, or maybe I never knew it. I'm not sure. But it strikes me as interesting because the year that I became a Christian was the year that it became a holiday weekend and that the government set it up and passed a bill saying that the Monday, the last Monday of May, would be Memorial Day. So that was 1971. I guess I just thought it had been that way for a longer time than that. And really, Memorial Day as a special holiday, as a weekend, didn't start until 1971. And that's when it became official. So tomorrow is officially Memorial Day. Do you know what today is? The day before. Gee, Matt, you're so smart. I just love him. Technically, he's correct, and he is a guy who's a technician. Do you know what today is? Pentecost. Today's Pentecost. He knows because I told him. I got to tell you, sometimes Pentecost sneaks up on us because it's 50 days after, you know, the day of unleavened bread and all that stuff. And today, across churches around the world, there'll be a lot of churches who will be remembering, by the way, that today is the day of Pentecost, or the day of the year that we celebrate Pentecost. And some of us remember that was the day the church began. We remember that God poured out his Spirit, and people were hit by a rushing mighty wind, and they came out of the upper room that they were in and were speaking in tongues. And it was a pretty amazing event. And during that event, Peter got up to preach. So in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read just a couple of verses. You don't have to turn. I'll just read them to you. I got short texts today, but you might want to write it down in case you want to go back and look at it later. Acts chapter 2, I'm just going to go with just a couple verses here from verse 16 and 17. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. He's responding to some people who are trying to figure out what in the world is going on with all these people running around in these different languages, speaking in these different languages. And so he says, this is what, or one version I like, it says, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Everybody say last days. Says God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. This was a big deal. Now, how many of you know that we're in the last days? Okay. And if what Peter said was true, then when did the last days begin? On the day of Pentecost. Just thought I'd just throw that in there just for the fun of it. The last days have been, you've been living in the last days your whole life. About 3 weeks ago, I preached a little thing, and I put it up on our website as two sermons. And one was a five-minute sermon, and it was everything you need to know about the last days in 5 minutes. If you didn't get there that Sunday, go look at it. If you're watching online, it's on YouTube. You can go see it. Everything you need is the first of two sermons, but it was 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes of the message that day. And I'm not going to preach it again. I could. It'd only be 5 minutes extra, but I'm trying to keep things short today. I'm trying to keep things short. How many think that's okay? See, I thought I'd get a little Thanksgiving out of that. Oh, we're back on Thanksgiving. So it's Pentecost Sunday and Memorial Day weekend at the same time. That doesn't happen all the time, by the way. It just happens once in a while. The last time, though, it happened was actually 2020. I don't think I noticed then. We were a little busy in 2020, weren't we? Well, so I just got to thinking, do these two things have anything in common? What do they have in common? Historically, there have been a lot of memorials set up by people who feel it's important for us to remember something. And again, we have set aside tomorrow to remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And so some, as I mentioned, will go out and they'll decorate graves, or they'll mention something, or they'll remember a fallen comrade or whatever. Here's the thing, during the Civil War, and this is something that you and I can't relate to. During the Civil War, after the Civil War, I should say, after that bloody conflict, almost everybody knew somebody, either in their family or from their town that they knew well. Almost everybody. The population of the United States wasn't nearly what it is now, and a whole lot more people died than it's hard for us to imagine having that many people that we knew that are dead. We can't begin to imagine that. And so in a way, I'm not sure we have an appreciation for Memorial Day like they had and like has been had in the past. And in a way, it's sad that we don't have that appreciation. But in another way, I am thankful that we don't have that experience where so many died that we knew personally. I mean, I really didn't know anybody, for example, who died in the Vietnam War, but I remember how hard it was on the little community of Sugar Grove because they had two young men who got out of high school, and within their first year or maybe second year of being out of high school, we had stadium event for the one where the whole town turned out because he had gone to Vietnam and died. He was one of my teacher's sons, and I was only, you know, just a kid. I didn't know him, but it still touches you more when it's somebody you know. And here we are, a lot of us sitting in this room don't have any relative who's ever died that we knew personally in a war. And I'm thankful in an odd way. And yet, I hope we don't lose our appreciation for those who, as I said earlier, never made it out of their uniform. If we remember something, though, we can begin to have appreciation for it. And when we begin to show appreciation, we are people who are giving thanks. And that's probably why this word Thanksgiving kept coming up. Because we should be thankful. If we can't be thankful directly to someone we know who lost someone, or we can't be thankful ourselves to God about what took place, we are missing part of what we should be doing this weekend, which is being thankful. We live in an amazing nation. We have much to give thanks for. So expressing appreciation is Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving weekend, everyone. So does Pentecost have anything to do with Thanksgiving? Well, we may not know this, but the Feast of Pentecost didn't happen for the first time on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. The Feast of Pentecost goes back into the ancient history of the Israelite tribe. And what they did was, as their harvest began to, their spring harvest, you know, things they planted early started to come in, and they finally started getting some food out of their farms, they would bring in the first fruits of the harvest. In our, what do I want to say, climate here, it's not quite the same timing, but over in certain climates that are closer to, you know, the south, the equator, they plant earlier and they start getting a harvest. Some of you aren't very far away from some things, though. You know, you'll be starting to get some things that you've maybe planted. Probably most of us haven't planted anything. So again, it's hard for us to relate to it, isn't it? But that's what they were doing. They were bringing in their first fruits and they were giving thanks to God. So it was also a day of Thanksgiving, if you will. And then listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 13 through 16 says, "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks?" Everybody say giving of thanks. "Since he does not understand what you say." Wow. What gift of the Spirit was most manifest on Pentecost? Speaking in tongues is the one most noticed. And what is the essence of speaking in tongues? Thanksgiving. Welcome to Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. Now, I don't want to take the time this morning, but some of you, you know, you may think that on the day of Pentecost that the gift of tongues was given to teach people the gospel. That never happened, not at least on that day. Holy Spirit can do anything he wants, but on that day, it says they spoke in tongues and the people went, what? How is it we hear them in our own language? And then Peter got up and preached. I shared that part with you. And then they heard, because he got up in one language and spoke to them in a language they would all understand because they were Jews and proselytes. There's the short version of that. So what were they speaking when they spoke in tongues? They spoke the wonderful works of God, it says. They were speaking in our own language, the people said. That we hear them speaking in our own language, the wonderful works of God. What were they doing? They were worshiping. They were praising. They were giving God thanks. The essence of Pentecost is having a thankful heart toward God. The essence of Memorial Day is having a thankful heart for what we've experienced and how blessed we are. The essence of this weekend maybe should be more about Thanksgiving than macaroni salad. Just a little. Although you can be thankful for macaroni salad if you get it. Somebody says, no, I don't like macaroni. I don't like potato salad as much as I might like macaroni salad. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. Texture, probably something like that. So here's the main thing. For today and tomorrow, I want to encourage you to make an effort to be a little extra thankful. Find things to be thankful for. Now, that may be complicated. And by the way, I mentioned speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, but you'd like to, see me. I've prayed with, I know, over 1,000 people at least. I got a call the other day. This was so cool. Not a call. It was a Facebook Messenger text, and it from a pastor in Indiana. And he told me the story of, he reminded me of when I prayed with him as a boy, and he received his prayer language. He spoke in tongues. And then he told me how the other day, his boy, at the same age, crawled up into his lap, and they started talking about tongues, and he prayed for him, and he received the gift of tongues in his daddy's lap. And he said, thank you for praying with me all those years ago at camp. Kind of cool. So see me later if you're wanting to give more thanks. Because I was in here this morning before anybody got here, walking around giving thanks with a language that I don't even understand it, but God does. And it was the kind of thanksgiving that was untainted by my weird ideas. You know, when we say give thanks, though, when I tell you to go out and give thanks this weekend and be thankful, there's a lot to grumble about, isn't there? I mean, if you look around and you look at what's going on in the world and in the country and in politics. You want me to give thanks for what? As John mentioned earlier when he was, you know, doing some announcements, we want to support things like LifeWise Academy because there's a lot of other things that are trying to get in our school. And I don't want to get started. I want to stay thankful today. It's kind of scary, though. And so fear, scary stuff, makes us a little frustrated. There's anger related to that because a lot of goofy stuff is going on. But the first gift given on the first day of the church was a gift of thanksgiving. Think about that. On a day of thanksgiving, a day of first fruits. So as Americans, I want to remind us that we are blessed. We are so blessed that people are flooding our borders trying to get in here. Doing whatever they think they got to do, saying whatever they think they got to say, paying whoever they think they got to pay, trying to get into this place. And I want you to take note, this isn't happening anywhere else in the world. So as much as we look at our country sometimes and go, the rest of the world is going, give me some of that. And we have much to be thankful for. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Let me see. Everybody seems to have clothes. I'll bet you've got a change of clothes or two at home. Got in my closet last night because Lisa had done some laundry, and I had three shirts, and I was fighting to make them fit in the space. And I was thinking to myself, how many of these shirts do you never wear? Yeah? Yeah. Having food and clothing, be content. Anything beyond that, you should be thanking God a lot for. I mean, there are people in the world that don't have extra clothes. In the day that Jesus walked the earth, most of the people had one set of clothing that they kind of wore until it wore out. They didn't have a closet full of stuff. Your body's covered, and I'm looking across here, and none of you looks exactly emaciated. I know I'm not. I've been talking to myself again. I got on the scale this morning. I said, "One at a time, please." I got on the scale this morning. I got to get back on the keto thing. I've been cheating like everything. I thought maybe I could get away with not doing something, but now I realize that all I do is just gain weight if I'm not careful. And all of you know what that's like. We all fight that. Well, maybe not all of us. There are a couple of skinny people, and we'll just try not to hate you. No. What's that? Yeah. So, all of this had me thinking how much we have to be thankful for. And if you can't find something to be thankful for, you need to repent. You need to have something change in the way you think. You and me, if we can't find more to be thankful for than unthankful for, something is clearly wrong with the way we're thinking. Because we have so much more to be thankful for than to complain about. But, dang, it's fun to complain. Some of you laughed because you know it's true. So as we celebrate Pentecost and Pentecost and Memorial Day together in the same weekend, man, of all the weekends of the year, this ought to be a pretty good year to be, a pretty good time to be thankful. So God, help us to be the kind of people who can focus on the abundance we have rather than some of the unnecessary things we think we lack. Because we really have more than we need. And I think today would be an extra good day, and tomorrow would be an extra good day to try to find an opportunity to express thanksgiving. And Jesus said it like this, "And as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." So find someone whose job requires them maybe to work the whole weekend. Or find someone like a waiter or waitress if you happen to go to a restaurant someplace. Or someone who's cleaning, or, you know, start to think about the different opportunities you might have around you to thank somebody and be kind to them and show appreciation. And as much as you've done it to the least, you'll be doing it to him. And find some family member, somebody you care about, and just tell them you're thankful for them today or tomorrow when you see them. Be thankful for all the good things that we have in our lives and all the people that we have in our lives. Even the loneliest person in the room probably has more than some lonely people in the past have ever had. Maybe you can thank the person at the checkout. Of course, if you do the self-checkout, you'll have to thank you. I wish I had written it down. They told me the other day at Meijer, because I was in and I'm doing my thing and I'm checking out a couple items, and the voice comes on, "Thank you for shopping at Meijer." And I said, "Thank you, person inside the box." And I said, "I should name her." I looked up for one of the workers. I should name her. And she told me her name. I don't remember what it was now. Oh, yeah, we all call her something. And I don't remember what it was. So I'm going to have to go back in and ask again if they can tell. They all call her something, the lady in the box, the voice in the box. So as you gather with friends and family, I want to encourage you. Let them know they're appreciated. Let them know you're thankful you still have them. If we had lived in another time, a lot of them might be gone by now. If we lived in another time, Abby, your little brother might have already been killed in the Civil War. Wow. Yeah. But see, isn't that something? We don't think about those things. Kids were killed in those things. Young men went off to fight. You're still lucky to have him, even on days when it doesn't feel so lucky. There are a lot of us who have family members that are still alive who wouldn't have been alive 150 years ago. The technology of our day, the medical opportunities are so much better. There's so much we have to be thankful for. And that's what I wanted to encourage us to do on this Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah, I wasn't confused. I knew where I was going from the whole time. So I want to pray for you. I'm praying that God will put on your heart in the next few minutes some people. And you'll maybe make yourself a little list. He might put a bunch of people on. And you might have to get a little list and go check off. Who do I need to thank? Who do I need to thank for all that they do for me and all they've done for my family and all they've done for, and you name it. Somebody at work, maybe. You won't even get back to them until Tuesday. So, Father, bless your people, I pray. Cause your people, Lord, to be a people who doesn't just thank a few people even on just a couple special days, but help us to be that people who are full of thanksgiving, who are acknowledging people around us who need to be encouraged, who need to have some appreciation shown to them. And Lord, just in all ways and in everything, let us be thankful people. And this we pray in your name. Amen.